Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord my God, He exceeds my expectations. He addresses all of my concerns, and He did it before I was concerned. I thank God for His wisdom. And I'm here to tell you that the Lord loves His people. If you're listening to this broadcast, it's because God sent you here to it. He sent me to His people, and He told me many things that His people are doing, that His people are doing all over the earth, His people that are heaven bound. This week, the Lord made some things clear for me. He said the kind of people that go to heaven are the type of people, they believed on Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but they've come to a point through Christ that they will not eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil forever if they were put in Adam's position. They're covenant keepers. They're obedient people. They love God. They are wise because they love God. And they are pure because they love God. And they are righteous because they were washed in the blood. They received salvation. Now, but the Lord's last night, the Lord acknowledged something to me. He said, this was Friday night. He said, there was a problem. He acknowledged to me that there was a problem. Many people who have believed on Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, hear me good, this is important. Many people have that love Jesus, they believe they're going to heaven, but they've deviated somewhere. And the Lord brought this to my attention, and He gave me this assignment for those who He's going to send to this particular broadcast, this link. And if you're hearing this, if you're taking time to obey God and do this, it's either for your correction or for you to be aware of what's going on so that you can help others avoid destruction. Now, Jesus gave a parable of 10 virgins. That means 10 people of covenant. They didn't have any other gods before them. But 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And those who were foolish, they let the oil run out of their lamp. They didn't trim their lamp. And this is the day and time that the Lord can return imminently. And I thank God for modern day prophets. And there's a man named Dana Coverstone, Pastor Dana Coverstone. And he had some dreams about a calendar. And the Lord is giving us the heads up. But He said, brace yourself. Now, every time He had a dream, it was so we could brace ourselves. Right before the bridegroom was to come, the 5 wise virgins, they trimmed their lamp. They braced themselves. They stayed in the love of God. They made sure all was in their lamp. We need the life of God. We need His strength, the love of God, the life of God in us. They made sure they had oil in their lamp. They braced themselves, so to speak. And we have to, I thank God for all that He's doing. I don't want people to be caught off guard. Now, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, He talked about something very peculiar to me. And this is very important what He had to say. He said, He talked about the straight gate. This is Matthew chapter 7. He said, enter ye in at the straight gate. This is verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. and many there be which go thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. And he talked about being aware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. So if people who are false prophets speak, they are sent by Satan with the purpose of deterring people off the narrow road onto the broad road. Now, this has been going on for a long time. We can see the seeds of the false prophets. When you read the book of Acts, how when the miracles were done, the Jewish religious leaders were not happy. And they have infiltrated the church. They tried to get off the narrow path by their works, and not the works of Jesus Christ that he provided for us. And he said, "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" No, you don't get grapes from a thorn bush, and you don't get figs from thistles. You get them off of a fig tree. Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth fruit, evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. This is a spiritual law. Everyone bear fruit after its type. So when people receive dead doctrines and they preach it, it causes problems. He said, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now watch this part. Verse 21, he said, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, you that work iniquity. Now, this is spoken to those who are tares. They profess to be godly, but they're not. And I asked the Lord the difference between a tare and a lukewarm believer. A tare never had allegiance to God. But there are lukewarm believers who once had a relationship with the Lord and allegiance, but they deviated. Now, I've talked about that on other broadcasts. I asked the Lord for a reference, and he gave me a lukewarm Christian is just like King Saul. And a tare is just like Doeg. Saul gave the order to kill the priests. He tried to kill David. He had murder in his heart. But Doeg carried it out. And the prayers of David protected him. David was protected against the wiles of Saul. Saul was outclassed because David prayed to God. And he did things God's way. He didn't fight his own battle. He fought according to the wisdom of God. He let God deal with him. That's why we have to fight according to God's word. We yield ourselves to the Lord, and we have spiritual weapons. We're weaponized. But we don't fight in our strength. That's where we lose. Even if you know what to do, don't count on your strength. Do everything in the Lord's strength. Now, this is why I'm saying this. A lot of people have gotten off track. They've gotten into envy and strife and things and they didn't repent from it. It became their ways. Now, I watched a Ugandan pastor. The Lord brought him out a few years ago. I listened to him, and it really got me to thinking back in 2017. And the Lord had me to go back and listen to him. And recently, a few weeks ago, I listened to him three times. One Saturday, he was repenting for acts that he knew about, but the Lord wanted him to repent of his ways. Now, it's on YouTube. You can go there and watch the whole thing. Many people are in the same condition that he was in before the Lord dealt with him. And the Lord said, if I came to get my bride, I would have left you. And many people are in that category. I've been praying about this ever since. I said, Lord, the five foolish virgins are going to get caught off guard. And so many people out there, they believe they love God. They believe they're in Christ, but they've left their first love. And they forgot to be kind. And they give in to envy and strife. And as a man of God, especially a young man of God, when I was first coming up, I can sadly tell you of many of situations where older preachers were envious. And it became a pattern. If I preached at a church, I'd never get to preach there again. Because I always sought the Lord about what to preach. Not that I said some heresy. And this, most of the things that I taught are recorded. I got recordings of them. And if you heard them, you could judge it yourself. And I preach the same way now as I did then. I just got more knowledge now because I walk with the Lord more. But when I go back at the old notes, they were just as good as the new ones. I run into envy and strife. I've seen works of God crumble because of envy and strife. Many people have problems with lust and envy and strife and anger. Satan is outclassed when it comes to the people of God. The weapons of our warfare are mighty, and they can pull down strongholds. Fighting the good fight is a cakewalk if you win the war within. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. It's the same thing that Israel went through when they were entering the promised land. They were supposed to take the land, not make a covenant with the enemy, and drive them out. All the Canaanites were supposed to be driven out. The Perizzites, the Ammonites, the Amalekites, all of them were supposed to be driven out. And Joshua gave clear instructions not to make a deal with the people, not to make compromises and covenants. And the Gibeonites fooled Joshua, and he made a covenant that he had to keep. And Saul broke that covenant, and it caused a judgment to come upon his house. So God expects us to keep covenants and contracts. We're supposed to pay our bills. And how many people have stopped paying their bills? We're supposed to do the things. I'm not trying to put anybody in condemnation, but we're supposed to make sure we keep our word and don't give it so quickly. And we need to pray more and do things in the Lord's strength more than we do to avoid entanglements. Now, I thank God that we can repent of our sin. He forgive us of all of our sin that are past. And I've heard preachers that I like say past, present, and future, but that's erroneous. You don't supposed to have present sin, because sin is a choice. But if you do, by all means, repent. And the future hadn't come yet. So you don't have a license to sin. You can be lost again. Your name can be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. It has to be written there before it can be blotted out. So that goes the doctrine that once saved, always saved, no matter what you do. Your name can be written back in if you're still alive, and it can be blotted out forever if you stay contrary. And if you don't believe me, read Jude and 1 John, Jude and 2 Peter, I mean, and also 1 John. Because when we have the love of God in us, we just don't sin. We don't want to. That's the only way to fulfill the law, the love of God. And if we have a mind, if we can choose to do evil, we can lose what we've gained. And through Christ, it can be lost. So it's important not to allow yourself to be suckered into walking that broad road ever again. And this is not salvation by works either. The only reason we go to heaven, hear me good, the only reason we're righteous is because Jesus laid his life down and died in our place and gave us what we don't deserve. We don't deserve the grace that he gave us, and he didn't give us the punishment that we actually did deserve. That's mercy. We can't earn salvation. It's not about what we do. It's not about how well we preach and how wonderful we are as people. It's only the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So that means that we need to look to him and receive his word. Jesus once told his disciples, now you are clean because of my word. So being washed in the blood gives us covenant. But being washed in the water of the word, that we receive his word, then we come to a point that we believe it, and then we act on it, and then we learn it and come to a point of understanding. And the word of God that we understand is where we're going to have our victory. And you will find yourself, when this process is carried out continually, it's not hard. I like to make things easy and plain. People are setting all kind of books about how to do the very same thing, but you're going all around the mountain. All you have to do is fill your heart with the word of God and receive it. Receive what you're reading. Receive it. And let it get inside you. And flow with his love. Live by his strength. Do things according to the word of God. And it works. Your life will work. And if there's something wrong, the fear of the Lord will rise up. But the fear of the Lord won't work in you if your heart is too hard. If you harden your heart for whatever reason, and the fear of the Lord rise up, you won't recognize it. You won't care. If you don't have the love of God in you, you will not respond to the fear of the Lord. You know that's wrong. You know what you're doing is wrong, but you'll excuse yourself, just like the people that go to hell. Just like Christians that think that they're going to heaven, and then they don't. Now, Jesus said it this way. He said, if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. But first of all, your eye has to be single. Now, how do you get your eye to be single? In Revelation, the theme of what he said to all the seven churches is to remain in the love of God. Now, two churches he didn't have to tell that to. But five churches he had to remind them to stay in the love of God. And the last church, the Laodicean church, they were looking at their works. Satan succeeded in making them become lukewarm because they were looking at their works that had reputation. But they had rejected their first love. They were lukewarm. A lukewarm person can betray God. This is not about being boisterous and being prestigious and being exhilarant all the time. A person that's on fire for God, they just have the love of God in them with the intent to obey him. They may be quiet. They may not preach. They may not sing. They just love God and they love his people and they're dedicated. They may not make a big fuss about things. They may not do anything over exceptional. But they're still on fire because they have the living love of God in them. And when things don't go their way, they persist to pray for people. They do the things that Jesus said do. And then you have those who put themselves first, just like a goat in the field. If you got sheep and goats, if you know anything about the sheep and the goats are going to try to get on the highest precipice of the land. They're going to try to get there to be well known. And that can seem to people to be on fire, but that's not. It's just like the raven, Noah's Ark. He sent out the raven and then he sent out the dove. The raven went to and fro. But the dove was out trying to find land. She flew so far. When she came back, she was tired. Noah had to get up with his hand and bring her back in and wait because she was so diligent. When that raven was just going, he was going just a short distance out and right back, to and fro. He looks like he's helping, but he was no help at all. And then After 7 days, he let the dove go back, and she brought back an olive leaf. The Holy Spirit always works on our behalf. We have to pay attention to the works of the Holy Spirit. And we have to learn to do things in the strength of the Lord. Being on fire is not always being out front and seen and being the best, and being the most powerful, being the most victorious. Our victory is in Christ. We don't have anything to prove. If we live that love of God that's inside of us, Satan is way outclassed. We have spiritual weapons that we can use. The Lord will show us how to pray. And we can do more good with praying than some people can with if they had the podium to preach. Some people have that podium to preach, but they're just wasting time because they're using that platform to amaze men. Now, the Lord said that I was doing some broadcasts some weeks back. I forgot which one it was, but he made something plain to me. He's been helping me understand life by the Garden of Eden. That Adam could eat off every tree in that garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, I was talking to a friend of mine. We were talking about temptation and the problems of it. I said if all Adam had to do was eat off the tree of life more, and he would have had no desire to eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. These were the two distinct trees in the garden, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All the other trees were good for food, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was the one that God said was off limits. We need to have restrictions and restraints in our lives. Love has an abundant side. You can't, if you love everybody and if you love people, you're going to have to restrain yourself. You can't have everything you see. God gave Adam one wife. And in his days, millions of women were born, but he only had one wife. The rest of them were off limits. And they were his descendants, of course, but we have to pay attention to what God has done for us. Stick with the pattern that God has given us. The kings of Israel had multiple wives and they got in multiple forms of trouble. And sometimes it was legal and necessary for them to have more than one wife. If a brother died and didn't leave children, they had to marry his wife. Or reject her. But they had to marry his wife to raise up seed in his stead. This was necessary. But before death happened, it was one man and one woman. So we need to go back to what God did in the first place to have the best life. There's nothing wrong. When God do something, there's nothing wrong with it. It don't need to be tweaked. I work on cars and carburetors. You have to tweak them. You have to tune them up and make them run smooth. But when God makes something, you can drive it. You can live it. There's nothing wrong with it. And there's no need for sin. Now, the enemy is trying to get you off track. He's trying to throw everybody off track. He's trying to get people in sin so that he can steal their life. Now, to sum all this up, Paul wrote a book knowing that we would get in the same kind of trouble that the enemy was trying to cause in his day. This is Galatians 5. He says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free." Christ made us free. We didn't make ourselves free. "And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say to you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." So if you say that you're saved because of circumcision, then you're overlooking Christ. Now, most Jewish men in those days were circumcised, or all of them were. But he's not saying just because you're circumcised, Christ didn't do you any good. Because you focus on it. thinking that, believing that it made you righteous. That's a problem. Paul himself was circumcised. But he didn't say that made him righteous. He said Christ made him right. Jesus Christ made him righteous. And he justified him, not his circumcision. He said, Christ has become, he said, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect to you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. You can't, the law, I went to a holiness church and they had law, rules and restrictions. And they wanted you to keep these rules and regulations. Women couldn't wear pants and jewelry, makeup. Men had, they had a dress code. And they had all these restrictions. Not doing those things will not make you righteous. Only the blood of Jesus. So some people have gotten over into pleasing man and forgot about the real focus. That's the blood of Jesus. So the reason people get on the broad road, it happens for many reasons. But nevertheless, most people have grown past that. They know better than they used to in the 70s and 80s. He said, for we who, this is verse 5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. That's why we're righteous. Faith which works by love. He said, you did run well at once upon a time. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? He's talking to the people who got over into legalism, into the law, into the ceremonial law. We're obligated to live out the moral law. But we have to fulfill the ceremonial law and the moral law, but we fulfill the ceremonial law by believing on Jesus Christ. We've got the destination. We don't need the road signs anymore. It's good to know about them because they point to the destination. If you got Jesus, you fulfill the ceremonial law. And if you got his love inside you, your life proves to fulfill the moral law. He said, you did run well, verse 7. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion comes not from him that calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. If you start playing with something wrong, it takes a leaven of sin to cause a person to cross the line. That's what I was going to mention earlier concerning the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It takes a leaven of hatred to cross the line. And the other night, the Lord spoke to me and said, when some people have had that leaven of hatred and they crossed the line, they went back to the world, maybe not even realizing it, but when their heart got harder, they can't come back. And I want you to be aware of it. You have to examine your own heart and your own life and ask the Lord, go before the Lord and say, I would say, Lord, show me where I missed it, if I missed it. And help me repent from not only deeds and actions, but my ways. Help me fill my heart with your love and never again do the unfruitful works of darkness and never do anything for vainglory. Help me never lust after anybody else, whatever it is. Christians need to repent like a Ninevite. If you can repent like a Ninevite, you can get out of this trouble. If you cross the line somewhere, if your heart gets too hard, you won't come back. And you'll think you're right with God. Now, that's the wrong time to find out that you were not right with God after you go to hell. When you die and the demon snatch you into hell, you still don't know what to repent from because your ways are all messed, just like the Ugandan pastor. This is a very serious thing. And many will come to Jesus. Lord, I preached in your name. Cast out demons. Remember something. Unless you are living according to the word, according to the living love of God, Even though Christ gave you authority, you forfeited it. If you're in sin of any form, you forfeited your God-given authority, and now you don't have authority. So when you take authority over the enemy, they'll act defeated to keep you in deception. And I've been teaching authority for a long time, but many people don't have authoritative testimonies. And it's because they are not walking according to God's love. I never had a problem with authority because I continued to walk in His love. And I thought everybody could do it. And they really can. But first you got to stay in the love of God. He said, I'm not putting myself up. This is how the Word of God works for all of us. And then if I have victory, anybody can have it. He said, you didn't run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion comes not of him that calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. He said, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that trouble you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Now, I'm going to have to skip on down because we're about out of time for this broadcast. He said, verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh.